بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, let's start off this talk by reminding all of us of what is happening to our ummah as we sit here today. As we sit here today, whilst we are all waiting here, approximately 14,000 people have died in Syria at the hands of the tyrant Bashar. We are coming for Bashar. We are coming to get him very soon. And if we don't, then Allah's army is coming, the angels. And by Allah, there is no escape for him. As we sit here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, as we sit here, approximately, how long have you guys been in the conference? About 2 days, 3 days? Approximately what? Let's say 20 hours, 8 hours each day, something like that, or more than that. If you've been here for about 30 hours or so, approximately within 30 hours, approximately 24,000 Muslims will have left Islam. In 30 hours, approximately 24,000 Muslims will have left Islam. Where are they leaving Islam? In Africa, in Indonesia, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in India, and in many other places where Christianization is going on at a pace you cannot imagine. In fact, in the recent Pew report regarding the demographics of the world, it was reported that in the year 1908, when the census was done, there was approximately 9 million Christians in Africa. In the year 2002, when the next report for all of the African continent was available, the number of Christians rose from 9 million to 516 million. Where in the world are these people coming from? Unfortunately, it is our people that are converting to Christianity. Yes, no doubt, we are going to become large in number. Yes, no doubt, by 2030, one in four people around the world will be a Muslim. Yes, no doubt, by 2030, 2 billion people on this earth, out of the 8.5 billion people at that time, will be Muslim. No doubt about that, no doubt. However, we could be higher in number. We could be bigger in number if we stop our people, the ignorant people, unfortunately, the marginalized ones, the poor ones, those who have less information about Islam, from leaving our deen. The time is now to stop all the fitna and the problems that this ummah is going through. The time is now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, for you to take on that responsibility in your hands. The time is now to remember the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ma lakum idha qila lakum infiru fi sabilillahi thaqaltum ilal ard, araditum bil hayati dunya minal akhirah, wa mal hayatu dunya fil akhirati illa qaleel. What is Allah saying? Oh, people who believe, what is wrong with you? When it is told to you, when someone tells you, go out in the path of Allah, go out struggling in the path of Allah, that you stick yourselves, throwing yourself to the ground. Are you happy with the life of this dunya? What is the life of this dunya in the hereafter except very, very little? My brothers and sisters in Islam, if you prefer this dunya over the hereafter, then by Allah, your end will be like the end of Mubarak. If you prefer this dunya over the hereafter, your end will be like the end of Qaddafi. If you prefer this dunya over the hereafter, by Allah, Allah will give us a disgrace in this dunya and He will not remove it until we return back to Him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, have you seen how Allah disgraced those people who prefer this dunya over the hereafter? What a disgrace. And by Allah, have you seen the example of those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed to prefer the hereafter over this dunya? Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, He said in that beautiful narration from him, "Oh people, work for the hereafter. Work for the hereafter. For indeed, I have seen in my life, anyone who works for the hereafter also gets the dunya. The dunya goes after him, runs after him. But I have never found anyone who works for this dunya ever get any piece of the hereafter." Ask yourself, for which cause are you spending most of your time? For which cause are you loving most of your time? Or for which cause do you actually spend day in, day out, getting up in the morning? For which cause, my brothers and sisters in Islam? As the scholars of Islam said, verily the love of this dunya and the love of the hereafter like two scales. When one becomes heavy, the other one becomes light. When the other one becomes heavy, the other one becomes light. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was here today, and he said, "Oh people, oh Muslimin, come with me. Come with me towards this or that cause." What answer would we give Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood there. And it was very evident, this was just before the Battle of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood amongst his Sahaba. And it was very, very clear that a battle was going to take place. But the Sahaba had not come out of Medina prepared. They had blunt swords. They have hardly any shields. They did not have any armor. They were only 315 or 16 in number. That's it. They had only a few camels amongst them, no horses. And here was Quraysh that have come with their fakhr and with their hadith. They had come with their pride in their heart and with their iron and all the weaponry. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, "Advise me, O Sahaba." So Abu Bakr and Umar stood up. Listen to this. Listen to this. Abu Bakr and Umar said, "Ya Rasulullah, do as Allah commands you. For indeed we will not say to you, as the Banu Israel said to Musa, go you and fight, you and your Lord, and we will stay here. Rather, we will say, go you, fight, you and your Lord, and we will follow you in it." Then the Prophet ﷺ still wasn't happy. He still kept quiet and then he still said, "Advise me." It was not enough. "Advise me." So a man by the name of Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, the honored man of Ansar, stood up. And he said, "Perhaps, Ya Rasulullah, you're referring to us. Perhaps, Ya Rasulullah, you're referring to us, the young men and the young women that said that we will help you when you come to Medina. Perhaps you're referring to us." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, I'm referring to you." So look at the answer of Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad. Look at the answer of this man, Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, the one who, when he passed away, the throne shook from sadness of the death of Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad. What did Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad say? "Ya Rasulullah, we have promised you that when you come to Medina, we will support you with our blood and our sweat, and we are not going to go back on our word. Ya Rasulullah, take us wherever you want to take us." He continued and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if you drive us into the ocean, by Allah, we will follow you in it, even if that means that we are going to be drowned." "Ya Rasulullah," he continued, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, we are patient in battle. We are truthful when we meet the enemy. No one amongst us will turn our backs, not a single man. Ya Rasulullah, perhaps Allah will show you from us that will please your heart about us. Ya Rasulullah, go and fight and we will follow you in it." This is the answer we're looking for. This is the answer we're looking for. This is the answer that made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smile. Awake, my brothers and sisters in Islam, awake. The time is now. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ma lakum idha qila lakum infiru fi sabilillahi thaqaltum min al-ard. Araditum bil hayati ad-dunya min al-akhirah. Wa mal hayatu ad-dunya fil akhirati illa qalil. What is wrong with you, O Muslimin, O people of Iman, when it is said to you, go out in the path of Allah, help Allah's deen, help Allah, give Allah alone, help your Muslim brothers and sisters, that you stick to the earth? Are you happy with the life of this dunya? What is the life of this dunya in the hereafter except very, very simple, very, Allahumma ista'an, it doesn't even worthy a mention. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he wrote in his Nuniya, very amazing poetry. One of the most amazing things that he wrote in his Nuniya is that he said, "Huribu min al-riq al-ladhi khuliqu lahu, fabulu bil-riq al-nafs wa-shaytani." What did he say? He said, mankind runs away from the slavery that they were created for. And so Allah punished them by being slaves to their own selves and slaves to the shaitan. Ya salam. How true is this? We are running away from one slavery. We are all slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're running away from that slavery. So Allah has made us slaves to other things. My brothers and sisters in Islam, verily in the history of Islam, we find examples that when the young men and young women rise up, that Islam flourishes and shines. We find an example of Islam that when the young men and young women say, "I am going to help Islam," then by Allah, even the shabab, even the older generation will follow. Do you know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that even Abu Bakr and Umar followed a young man. Even Abu Bakr and Umar, who were the sheikhs of the Muslimin after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know that even they followed a young man, an 18-year-old young man? Do you know when? In the Battle of Ar-Ridda, which is the battle that just happened right after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, when a group of the Sahaba that were on the fringe, they had accepted Islam, some Arabs from the desert had accepted Islam on the fringe, but they became disbelievers. Why did they become disbelievers? They said that we will not give you zakat anymore. We will withhold zakat from you. No longer is zakat obligatory on us. So this was known as a Hurub al-Ridda. Do you know who was a general? Army general commanding the army over the whole of the army. Do you know who the army general was? The army general was an 18-year-old boy. 18-year-old boy by the name of Usama bin Zayd. Hibat Rasulullah, the beloved of Rasulullah. 18-year-old boy, yes salam. He was the general. Do you know who was in the army? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, all the 10, Ashara Mubashirin bil Jannah, the 70 Sahaba that had fought the Battle of Badr, hundreds of the Sahaba that had fought other battles, was being led by this 18-year-old boy. My brothers and sisters who are young in the audience, if you have a passion and a vision for this ummah, and you rise up and lead the ummah will follow you. They will follow you. The mashayikh will follow you. The leaders of the ummah will follow you. I will follow you. Mercy Mission will follow you. If only you can inspire us to a vision. And if only you can inspire us towards a direction and wake up this ummah from the slumber that we have fallen into. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a young boy when he took the affairs in his hands. What did he do? He waited till his people had left. Then he took the axe and he broke all the idols, except the biggest one. What was Ibrahim's age at that time? A very simple 12 or 13 years old, or 14 years old, according to some tafasir. Young boy Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, at that age, he wanted to show his people the truth about shirk. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. They said, "We heard a young boy mentioning them. His name is Ibrahim." So just because you're young doesn't mean you can't have the affairs in your hands. Just because you're young doesn't mean you can't correct the people. You are young, it doesn't matter. You are young, Allah has given you energy. Act now. The ummah needs your help now. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about Ashab al-Ukhdud. Qutila Ashab al-Ukhdud an-nari dhati al-waqood idh hum 'alayha qu'ud wa hum 'ala ma yaf'aluna bil mu'minina shuhud. Who were the Ashab al-Ukhdud? Ashab al-Ukhdud were the people that were being thrown into the fire because they didn't believe that this king was God. And so the king, there was a young boy amongst them who was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know the story? The young boy, he said, if you say Bismillah when you throw the arrow, then it will be able to kill me. If you don't say Bismillah, it will not be able to kill me. So the man said Bismillah and he shot the arrow and it killed. So everyone believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they saw that the king could not kill the people until he had said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's a young boy who saved his ummah. A young boy. In Surah Yasin, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent three messengers. Three messengers, first two messengers, and then he gave him a third one to a particular town. Three messengers to one town, ya salam. And then what happened? The town did not believe in all of these three messengers. So what happened? Allah says in Surah Yasin, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أَأَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَةً إِنْ يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذًا لَّمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And then what did they do? They killed him. A young boy came running from the furthest part of the town saying, Ya Qawmi, O my people, believe in these messengers. Believe in the ones who have not been, who are giving you the hidayah, not asking any money in compensation. And why should I not believe in these messengers and in Allah when Allah is the one who gave me life? And verily this shirk is dhulm. So what did the people do? They killed him. And then when they killed him, Allah quotes him in the Quran as saying, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'ala minni min al-mukramin. Oh, how I wish my people knew how Allah has praised me and made me from the honored ones. He was a young boy at that time. A young boy. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we find in Sir A'lam al-Nubula that Al-Dhahabi rahimullah mentions that the very first person to ever raise a sword in the name of Allah was a young boy by the name of Abdullah ibn Zubair. He accepted Islam at the age of 8, and at the age of 12, he put his sword up. He took his sword and he was walking, and the Prophet saw him and said, Ya Zubair, where are you going? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I heard so-and-so insulting you. I'm going to take this sword and strike his neck with it. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him, smiled, and told him to go back to his family. He was too young. Ya Salam, the first person to say the sword in the eyes of Allah, in the path of Allah, was a young boy at the age of 12. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I attended the Battle of Badr and I did not have a single hair on my face. Not a single hair on my face. How young was he? How young was he? Muhammad bin al-Qasim, the great conqueror, he conquered Sindh and he conquered the northern parts of India at the age of 17 years old. Muhammad al-Fatih, Sultan Muhammad Fatih, the Turkish man who conquered Constantinople, 800 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Constantinople will be conquered. What a beautiful army that army will be. And what a great conqueror that conqueror will be. Who was Muhammad bin Fatih at the age of 10? He said, he was sitting with his sheikh and his sheikh was reading this hadith out to him. So he said, Inshallah, I will be that man. Inshallah, I will be that man. At the age of 18 years old, he conquered Constantinople. At the age of 18 years old. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I don't know how many more examples you want me to give you. But the Quran and Sunnah and the history of the Muslimin are replete with examples of how when the Shabab and when the youth rise up, then Islam has a voice and Islam has a chance. I am no longer a Shab. I have white hairs in my beard and I have white hairs in my head. Allahu musta'an. I am not Shab anymore. But my hope and my dreams and my aspirations rest with those brothers and sisters who have yet to have white hairs on their hair and on their faces. My vision, my hope, my dreams all rest with you all. That if amongst you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires people of action, then by Allah this ummah has a hope. And if amongst you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't inspire action, then this ummah is truly lost. In the authentic narration we hear that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was known as the fifth Khalifa, mashallah, he had a son. And the son of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as Abdul Malik. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz used to say, Alhamdulillah, الذي جعل لي وزيرا من أهلي Abdul Malik ibn. Glory be to Allah who has given me a helper from my family, Abdul Malik, my son. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he said Abdul Malik was a very righteous and pious man, a young boy who was a very righteous and pious person. He used to help his father in the affairs of the dunya and of the deen. And unfortunately, Abdul Malik passed away before Umar ibn Abdul Aziz passed away. However, this is the lesson. Ibn Rajab continues and he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Abdul Malik to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as a lesson to all the sons of the dunya, so that they help their fathers and they help their families in doing that which is good in this dunya. Ya salam. My answer, my request to all my sons in the audience, to all the brothers and sisters who are sons and daughters, help your father, help your mother, help your families in achieving that which is great for this ummah. If they are not awake, you wake them up. If they are asleep, wake them up gently. Tell them by Allah to work for the akhirah, for indeed, if they do so, they will have the dunya as well. Otherwise, they will have nothing of the hereafter. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the daughter of Sufyan and Ibn Sirin, the daughter of Ibn Sirin, radiallahu anha, she used to say, Ya ma'ashara shabab, i'malu, fa'inni ru'aytu al-amala fi shabab. She used to say, oh, the shabab, oh, the young men and women in the audience, oh, the young men and women in the ummah, work now, for indeed I have seen in my life, verily the hard work happens whilst you are young. So my young brothers and sisters in Islam, the time is now for you to do something for this ummah. The time is now for you to do something, make a real, definite pact with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to divorce this dunya and to marry the hereafter. The time is now for you to make a real impact in this dunya by Allah, because the ummah really needs your help. To all my elder brothers and sisters in the audience, to all my elder brothers and sisters, those that are not shabab, by Allah, I have some advice for you. And that advice is what Al-Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mentioned from him. It was reported that Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he was getting older and older, he was getting even more eager about hadith. The more older he was getting, the more eager he got about hadith. Until Imam Muslim radiallahu anhu said about Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, what did he say? He said, wallahi, towards the end of the life of Al-Bukhari, he used to get up 20 times at night. 20 times at night, he would be restless sleeping at night. Why? Because he would get up in order to write some hadith down that was on his mind. Also, Ibn Aqil, one of the great scholars of the Hanbali madhab, he said, wallahi, now that I'm 80 years old, I find that my desire for helping the ummah and for gaining knowledge is even more severe than it was when I was 20 years old. My brothers and sisters who are elder in the audience, you don't have the distractions that the youth have. You don't have the distractions that you would have. You are wise. You have life experience under your belt. You know by Allah the truth about many things the shabab are still confused about. So focus yourselves. Focus yourselves now on gaining knowledge. Focus yourselves now on helping the ummah. To where will you take your wealth and money? To where will you take it by Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic narration in Musnad Imam Ahmed, the children of Ibn Adam will not cease to love this dunya and whatever is in it until his stomach is full of dirt in the grave. We will not cease to love this dunya. All of us loves this, including me, by Allah. We will continue to desire money and wealth and provisions until our bellies are filled with the dirt of our graves. By Allah, it is for this reason why righteousness is to give up that which you dislike. To my elderly brothers and sisters in the audience, I urge you all to write in your wills that you give half your wealth away, or one third of your wealth away, or whilst you're still alive, give half your wealth away in the cause of Allah. Find good Islamic organizations, find good charities, find a Muslim cause, find some Muslimin that are in need, give half your wealth away. give half your wealth away. What will you do with that wealth? It will stay for you in the hereafter. Allah will give it back to you. Allah will save your face on that day. Allah will build your shade on that day. The time is now before you pass away. Don't wait till the angel of death comes when your wealth is already owned by your inheritors. Otherwise, do you love the wealth of your inheritors more than your own wealth? Write in your wills now. Give your money away in the cause of Allah now. Spend your time now in helping Allah and His deen. How much more wealth do you want to earn? How much more time is there left? By Allah, you already are going to enter the grave very soon, by Allah. If not because of your health, then at least because of other reasons. My brothers and sisters, this is the reality. This is the reality. From the bottom of my heart, I ask all my brothers and sisters to really wake up and do what they can for the ummah. And my final advice is for the ulama and the mashayikh and the leaders of this ummah. To the ulama and the mashayikh and the leaders of this ummah, my advice is for them to come together and have a clear idea what they want to do. We are working, all of us, in different fields. We're working, all of us, in different spheres. Different organizations pulling in different ways. It doesn't really help much. It helps when we work together. It helps when we complement each other. We don't have to be under one body. But Allah, that's not required. What is required, however, is to complement each other and support each other. Is to find out what each other's visions are and to support that. And by Allah, to my mashayikh and my ulama, my advice for you all is to become true leaders. Just because you're a sheikh does not make you an alim, does not make you a scholar, does not make you a leader. Just because you're a sheikh doesn't make you a leader. A leader is a servant of his people. A leader is a visionary. A leader is someone who does the action and shows by his values. Just because you're a sheikh, you can't be a leader. Don't assume leadership just because you're a sheikh. Prove it with your actions. Prove it with your vision. Prove it with the advice that you give the shabab. Guide the shabab, because they don't have a clarity of vision. Guide them towards what you want them to do and where you want them to go. Something that is devoid of self-benefit. Something that is clearly towards the benefit of this ummah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. If we spend our time struggling for the cause of this deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our lives very, very beautiful. Let me tell you a little bit about my life. A few years ago, or just a few months ago, it was very difficult. Very difficult. Working as a medical doctor, living in Australia, trying to make ends meet, trying to find enough money to look after the rent and the family, trying to provide for the ummah and whatever it needs, doing the medical work at the same time as doing the da'wah work as much as possible. It was a nightmare. Nightmare, wallahi. The health suffers, as you can see. The body suffers, the mind suffers, everything suffers, wallahi. But by Allah, the one who perseveres, Allah has amazing life for him. My life now, I'm sure if you knew how great my life is now, you would fight me for it. If you knew what is in my heart, how much peace I have, how much thankfulness I have, how much happiness I have in my heart, you would fight me for it. Because by Allah, there is nothing like working for the cause of Allah. Every day I wake up and all that's on my mind is Allah and His cause. Every day I wake up and all I wake up to is perhaps a meeting for a mercy mission work somewhere, or a phone call from a brother who needs something regarding the da'wah. Can you imagine that? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made my sleep and my waking time all for His cause. And this is by Allah, a mercy from Him. This is not praising myself, wallahi. But this is by asking and telling you about what is happening to me, asking you to make similar choices for your own life. Because we all can work for the hereafter by Allah. It only needs a little bit of courage. Yes, my pay scale has taken a hit. Yes, I have less money now than I had before. Yes, I have a bit more difficulty in that regard. But by Allah, Allah gives in other ways you cannot imagine. Allah gives in ways you cannot imagine. Allah gives ease. Just by moving to a different country, my cost of living is almost half. I eat the same food. I drive a better car. I live in a better home. I now have home help to come and help my wife at home. I have a Quran teacher that is the cousin of one of the great scholars of Medina teaching my kids Quran. I have all of this now, I never had this before. Verily, I have found in my life that when you take a path in order to help Allah's deen, Allah helps you in ways you cannot imagine. How much would it have cost me to bring a sheikh over from Medina to teach my kids over here? It would have cost me a lot of money. How much would it have cost me to live in the same house somewhere here? My brothers and sisters in Islam, I ask you all to make similar sacrifices for the cause of Allah. Find wherever you are a path to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen supreme. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever age you are, make your cause only for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. Work for the hereafter. Verily, this dunya will come running to you, I promise. Our Shaykh Jafar radiallahu hafidhahullah, he told me many times, Ya Tawfiq, do what you love, money will follow. Wallahi, I'm doing what I love and money is following me. I do what I love and I have enough of money, alhamdulillah. And I'm not going hungry, nor is my family going hungry. The biggest thing that I have found that used to shackle me and probably shackles others is fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear at all except Allah Azza wa Jal. Bravery is to overcome fear. How can you be brave unless you overcome fear? Are you saying leaders are not afraid? Are you saying I don't have fear in my own heart when I do something? I have so much fear about Allah, but I overcome it with tawakkul on Allah. I overcome it by thinking about the consequences. I overcome it by depending on Allah and by reading Quran and by saying my salah. I overcome my fear, my brothers and sisters. So must you overcome your fear. Do not be afraid of loss of wealth. Do not be afraid of poverty. Do not be afraid about Allah that your family will give up on you. Continue in this path and never give up. Believe me, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written 50,000 years before we were created how much wealth and how much money we will get. And by Allah, we will not pass away until every bit of this wealth comes to us. No one here will die until we get exactly what Allah has written for us. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it doesn't matter by Allah. It doesn't matter you live here or you work for this company or that company. The provider is the same. The provider is the same. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe this in your heart. And the stronger you believe in it, by Allah, the stronger you become. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I remember the BBC report. This BBC reporter went to Palestine and was interviewing this little girl whose house has been demolished. Her house, this poor girl, her house had been demolished. So this BBC reporter was visibly very, very worried and concerned. You could see him almost about to break down and cry because of the sadness that he felt for this little girl that was in front of him. So he put the microphone to this little girl and said, "What will you do now that your house has been destroyed? How will you live?" So this little girl said in Arabic, which the BBC reporter did not understand at that point. Do you know what she said? He said, "The one who provides for the birds will provide for me, inshallah." Ya salam. Allahu Akbar for children like this. Allahu Akbar for children like this. If I knew this daughter, I would have married this girl to my son. Ya salam. Amazing ikhlas. Amazing tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who provides for the birds will provide for you. The one who provides for the birds day in, day out will provide for you. Believe this in your hearts. Believe this in your hearts. And remember the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran when He says in Surah Tawbah, "Qul in kana aba'ukum wa abna'ukum wa azwajukum wa ikhwanukum wa ashiratukum wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha wa tijaratun takhshawna kasadaha wa masakinu tardawnaha أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين." Allah says, "Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Muslimin and the Mu'mineen all around the world, say to them what? Say, if your fathers and your sons and your brothers and your wives and your family members and the money in which you have earned, the commerce in which you fear decline, the houses that you love are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger as struggling in His cause, then wait till the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And Allah does not love a transgressing people. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah said, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah will make you a disbeliever. Is that if you love all of these things other than Allah and His Messenger and struggling for the da'wah, Allah will make you a disbeliever. Allah will make you a kafir. And that's exactly what happens to us. We go to sleep, wake up in the fajr, and subhanAllah, we haven't prayed fajr. We go to sleep, Isha time, sometimes we don't even care about Isha because we are so tired, we go to sleep. That's what the Prophet said, a day will come when a person will go to sleep, a Muslim, wake up a kafir. And will will wake up a kafir and go to sleep a Muslim. And this is precisely what's happening to us. If you think, by Allah, that this is not disbelief, then wait till the Day of Judgment to see what Allah Azza wa Jal says. My brothers and sisters, we cannot prefer the love of anything else to the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. If you do not do it for the fear of Allah and the fear of His punishment, then at least do it for the love of Allah and His love. Who is there amongst us who doesn't love Allah Azza wa Jal? Who is there amongst us who doesn't profess to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If this is the case, that we love Allah, that we must show how much we love Allah Azza wa Jal in this dunya. When Allah Azza wa Jal will ask us, O Abdi, how did you demonstrate my love? You love me, how did you demonstrate my love? What have you done to prove your love to Allah Azza wa Jal? What have you done to prove your love to Allah Azza wa Jal? Let me give you the example finally of this man by the name of Anas ibn Nadhr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas ibn Nadhr was a sahabi who did not attend the Battle of Badr. He was not able to attend the Battle of Badr. So he felt really, really sad. So he made a promise to Allah in his heart. Ya Allah, you give me one more chance. Ya Allah, give me one chance. And I will prove to you how much I love you and I adore you. Ya Allah, give me one chance. And I will prove to you how much you and your deen means to me in my heart. And so the Battle of Uhud came. And Anas ibn Nadhr saw that the battle on the day of the Battle of Badr, he looked up and he woke up at the time of Fajr. And then the Sahaba saw him putting his head up like this, having a big smell. And then he looked up and he found Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh next to him, saying, Sa'ad, Ya Sa'ad, Inni ajidu riha al-jannah duna Uhud. He said, Wallahi Sa'ad, I can smell Jannah coming from Uhud. So Anas ibn Nadhr went on that day and he fought on the Battle of Badr and he died. And no one could recognize Anas ibn Nadhr except by the tip of his fingers. His sister was the only one who could recognize Anas ibn Nadhr only because of the tip of his fingers, because of the number of cuts and bruises on the body, on the front part of his face, and the amount of dirt and the amount of blood that had filled his face and his front part of his body, only by the tip of his fingers. So Allah revealed a verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that point. Min al mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma ahadu Allah alayhi. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَهْبَهُمْ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah says, verily from the believers are men who have been true to the covenant with Allah. From them are those that have passed away, and from them are those that await. And by Allah, they have not changed in their determination at all. Ask yourself to make a covenant between you and Allah in your heart. Oh Allah, give me one chance. Oh Allah, give me one chance. Show me the way how I can make a difference in your dunya. How I can make a difference in your life. Oh Allah, show me a way. My brothers and sisters, raise your hands and make this dua to Allah. Raise your hands and make this dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give me one chance. Show me the way that I can prove that I love you. Show me how, Ya Allah, show me the path so I can prove to you how much I love you and how much your deen means to me and how much you mean to me, Ya Allah. One chance. Make a promise to Allah. Stick to it. And Allah's promise will become true to you. He will never punish you. He will not punish you. He will forgive you and enter you into beautiful Jannah where you can spend time with Allah, one-to-one between you and Him alone.